Hello, and welcome to Road School Moms Live. For some reason, my intro music is not showing up, so we're going to have to do without it tonight. My name is Kimberly Travaglino, one half of the Road School Moms Live team, and this show is produced for the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more information, you can go to roadschoolmoms.com. Welcome again. It's 7 o'clock, or my time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it's time for Road School Moms Live, the radio show where we discuss all your road schooling efforts. And on the line with me tonight is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also homeschooling mother of four. It's 9 o'clock where we are in the world, and we're so glad to be with you tonight, talking this evening on how to keep your family safe on the road. How are you, Kimberly?
I'm great, Mary Beth. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. Glad to be here tonight. How about you?
I am wrapping up our summer so far. I feel like I feel like I need to do a post what I did on my summer vacation, even though it wasn't really much of a vacation. But we are wrapping up our time here in Montana. This is our last less than 1 week to go, and then we will be heading out with road schooling mom Laura Hamilton and her family to the Washington coast. So I'm really excited. We're preparing for that. What's your week look like?
Well, I'm so very jealous that you're heading out with the Hamiltons. We had such a good time with everyone in Tucson, including them, so I'm envious of that, but excited for you that you're moving on. We are en route to Florida, Southwest Florida, actually, for a few weeks, and then continuing our summer kind of on the Wing It plan. As you know, we're kind of the queen and king of the Wing It plan, so that's what we're doing.
You are the king and queen wing it.
You are. Maybe we should put that down. That's what we should have on the side of our rig. I'm sure it's too bad wingit.com's not taking, because I should own it.
Yes, you should. You should, and I should own Google Queen.
That is
I might go look for that.
That is so true. So tell me, as you're wrapping up this day that you've had there, what's your road school been like this week?
My road school has been a little crazy. I've been working the kids. You know, as you know, we are we're camping, and so it's been a very busy week here at the campground. A lot of turnover in the cabins, and that means a lot of beds to be made. So the kids have been helping me with that, and that's been part of our road school. And the other part of our road school is preparing for our time in Seattle. I like to, I have like a 50-60 mix in my mind when we go to a location, just how much I want to prepare for an area and then how much I want to just see what's there and as you call it, wing it. But if I'm going to go to a city and I'm going to either take the dually to a city or take mass transit to the city, then I really need a route in my mind and I really need a checklist of the things that I want to see. So we have been really exploring Seattle via books and found some great things to see. I'm super excited about all we're going to see in Seattle with all our other road school moms and dads and kiddos. And we've just been immersing ourselves in Seattle culture right here from our rig in Montana.
I see. Well, we are going, this first part of this jaunt, we're going to an area that we've spent a lot of time in, so I can't say that we've been really, really preparing for that. Instead, what I've done this week, as you know, I always say my Road School 101 crew is my R&D department, my research and development at its best, that road trip teacher. And so what we decided to do in preparation for just kind of some changes in our road school as far as curriculum and different things we're doing, I kind of set my crew out on a mission to explore some different options for different areas of our curriculum for this year. And I thought that I would keep notes on that and share some of their thoughts for our upcoming Road School Mom shows over the next month, where we'll be talking about curriculums and different things like that. So that's what we've been doing, and it's ironic because I've, you know, as always, learned something new every day, usually about your own kids. I had no clue that my daughter wanted to learn French. not anything that I had in my near future to as part of our road school, but, you know, that's what this is all about, and I'm excited that, that's what we talk about, right? Road school and homeschool is the ability to be able to do what you want, when you want, and about learning and all that. So we're going to explore how to learn French. So.
And do you have like a plan? Are you going to go with something like Rosetta Stone? Or are you going to, what are you thinking?
Do you know me? Can we just talk about the women? You know, I don't know how committed she is. And, you know, this is my soon-to-be third grader. So, you know, she's nine. So we're not, you know, I don't know how committed she's going to be to it. I don't know if this is a passing fancy or so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of money at the beginning. That's for one thing. And I'm not really looking for something really structured. I think I want to just maybe give her a little introduction to it and see how she grasps it maybe and, you know, just see how, you know, if she just wants to learn three or four cute little things that she can pop off and say. You know what I mean? I don't want to.
Right.
And I, at the same time, I don't want to burden her curiosity to learn and, you know, by dumping a bunch of information, you know, at her. I just kind of, I'm going to let her kind of take the lead on this one and see what happens.
Well, I like that. And I want to tell you, I just Googled how to learn French online, and I want to tell you that there's an iTunes podcast.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You,
because you're the podcast / Google queen. That's so funny. That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Send me that link because I'd love to have it. That would be somewhere her first to start.
I will send you that link. In fact, I'll put it on our chat. So anyone. And then the other thing I want to tell you about, have you ever heard of iTunes University?
No, I have not. Tell me about it.
Oh, this is brilliant, and all our road school moms need to know about it. Because on iTunes, it's open source. Don't quote me on it, but I think everything's free. And it is these schools, like Harvard's on there, Princeton's on there, and then, you know, Podunk University is on there. All these schools that publish their curriculum and publish their lessons online in iTunes, and you can go take a full course in whatever it is you have the penchant for learning on, and it's free. So iTunes University, definitely something you want to look at. There is also French in iTunes University, but the podcast, you know, is what drew my attention immediately. So,
very interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah.
You're definitely the go-to person for podcasts these days. I can't believe how much information is in that brain of yours.
I'm just, you know, did I tell you what I do? I think I did tell you what I do, but I'm going to share anyway for new listeners. I have a problem. My problem is my kitchen sink. It's an enormous problem to me. When it's full of dishes, I am completely immobilized. I can't even, like, make cereal for breakfast for the kids. I can't do anything. So I said to myself, self, how are we going to resolve this problem with the kitchen sink? And then at the same time, I had another problem. I fell in love with podcasts, and I didn't have time to listen to them. And I was very frustrated. So here I am, sink full of dishes and no time to listen to my podcast. So I decided to put these two problems together into a solution. And now I do my dishes every night with my headphones on and I listen to my podcast. And I just sit there with a huge smile on my face because I feel like I'm getting these two birds killed with one stone. And I love it. I really love it. I look forward to it every night. So now I look forward to doing dishes. And I get my podcast time. So if you have something in your life that you just can't stand doing every day, I strongly urge you to try to figure out how to combine it with some sort of audio, whether it's audiobooks or podcasts or whatever, and make it more of a delightful activity.
I should note that when you have, like, I'm picturing you actually dancing around your sink doing your dishes with the podcast. And the first thing that occurs to me is that as you are podcasting and washing your dishes, that you can't hear anyone else either.
I can't. That's right. And they do try to talk to me, and I just point to my headphones, and I go, it's mommy's time.
That's awesome, really. That's a great way to catch yourself some time and learn something new and get your dishes done. I'm excited.
Exactly. So, yeah, I love it. Love it. So that's my story with my podcasting. And I listen to some really great podcasts. I listen to some travel stories. There's Road Trip USA, which is a really great podcast. I listen to the 10-Minute Marketer, Kim Roach. She's amazing. Every time I listen to her, I'm invigorated and I run off and create some content. In fact, the other night I listened to her and then I immediately stopped washing my dishes when I was done and created that Facebook that infographic for full-time RVing families.
That was
Did you get to
awesome.
See that?
So, yes, I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
So yeah, she's very, very inspiring and tells everyone to be very prolific in their content creation. And so I did. I said, what can I create in the next 15 minutes? I'm not really in the mood to write a blog post. What can I do? And I thought, oh, yeah, someone asked me to do this. So that's been on my list. I'll do that. So that's what I did. And
isn't that the thing that
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, isn't that, I mean, you preach this all the time, but I'm going to say it out loud anyway. The one thing that you have over me when it comes to things like that is that you, when you get the urge to post something or put some content together or put a picture together, a graphic, you do it, and you don't look back. You know, you don't second guess it and say, oh, I wish I would have waited until I had this clip art, or oh, I wish I would have waited until I had this link, or, you know, you just do it. And that's one thing that I think, just thinking about our independent location series that we've got going on, and you know, a lot of our road school moms talk to us about blogs when they're starting blogs and things like that. When you're working for yourself, whatever progress you can make today is just that progress. So if that's one thing I could share about that little path that we talk about, is that just do it and don't second guess it, because whatever you get done today is something that you don't have to think about tomorrow.
Exactly. And, you know, there's no thing out there that says if you do it and you have a better idea that you can't redo it. There's nothing out there that says you can't redo something. Everybody's so afraid of not putting their best foot forward, and I was afraid of that for a long time, too. In fact, I'm still afraid of that. When I have a big sponsorship thing that I want to call sponsors about, I think, okay, here's my list of sponsors that I want to call, but I don't want to call the best ones first because I'm afraid that I need, like, a learning curve. And I'll call the really long shots first and work my script until I get it right, and then I'll call my best ones. But then my whole list is full of my best ones. I don't want anyone to say no, so you just got to do it. You just got to do it.
Yep, I agree.
So we have talked a lot, you know, a lot of our life revolves around being online. And this show is about all kinds of safety, online safety, safety in campgrounds, even travel safety. But let's start with online safety, because you and I spend enormous amounts of time online, and so do our children. So how can we make sure we are keeping them safe while they are connected to the great big internet?
Well, you know, one thing that I really do think that is obvious, I'm always surprised at how many people talk about, well, let's just talk about social media first, because that's, you know, clearly one of the areas that we all worry about. I'm always surprised at how many people that I run across that if, you know, if your child is on Facebook or your child has a Twitter account or they're on Instagram, if you are not following them, you need to stop what you're doing right now, even if you're listening to this podcast, and go get yourself an account, because that's the biggest thing you can do. And I don't know about you, but I, you know, my kids are required to, you know, they kind of have a little check-in with me. I have their password. I know, you know, because you can be on their account. They're a whole heck of a lot smarter than we are at this point when it comes to this sort of stuff. And it's very easy to block information. And not saying that any of our kids would intentionally do that, but you just never know, you know, what comes across their mind. It's not that sometimes they do it maliciously. It might just be something that, you know, happens. And you want to be seeing everything that they're thinking and doing, and everything that their friends or people they're acquainted with are also seeing and doing. So I think that's probably my first tip, is that, you know, when you're talking about social media, or even accounts like if your child plays Minecraft and they visit a server often, you know, that's something that you want to monitor, then you probably should get yourself a similar account. You don't have to stalk them, but, you know, keeping an eye on them from afar, that's, you know, that's kind of our job. So
I love that idea. I really love that idea, because it's so important to see what is going on firsthand. And like you said, it's not stalking them. It's just keeping an eye out for them. You know, our kids are in a different position from other kids, and there are times, I'll say it for my own kids, that they're really not as savvy as some of their school-going counterparts, because we live in this little bubble, and you know, they don't deal with these things on a regular basis. So They might not know how to handle a particular situation. And if you're not there to guide them in as far as online safety is concerned, then you could be in a situation. I want to add, as far as social media and blog posts is, and I don't always stick to this, but I really do try to, best practices is blog about where you've been, not where you are or where you're going.
Absolutely.
Because we put all this, right? We put all this information out into the world and seen by thousands of people, and I'm sure that the people nearest and dear to us are not any harm to us, but that doesn't mean anything for the people beyond that, and it's just always the best idea to post where you have been.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, and that's something, that's something I think that we really have to be cognizant about as travelers, because there are so many places when, for me, and I know you're the same way, so I have an iPhone, and so in order for me to have location services enabled so that when we're going through somewhere and if I want to have a map out or a GPS or something, you've got to have your location service and is enabled. And therefore, there's lots of, even if you're the most careful person in the world, there are going to be instances where even if you're turning that off and on or you've got your location services turned off in certain areas of your social media, there's bound to be somewhere that you can access it. I mean, there are people out there that are trying to do crazy, malicious things. That's their job, is to figure out where you are, because that's how they're hacking whatever they're trying to do or trying to find you. So, in that case, you've just got to, there's just no room for error, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I believe that you are 110% right about that, is just to never, just never give that exact location of where you're at that time, because it's just not a safe thing.
Right. Right. You definitely don't want anyone coming knocking on your door, whether they have good intentions or not. It's just not something you want to do. And now let's talk about, there's this camp, there's two camps when it comes to blogging about your kids. Using kids' names and pictures or not using kids' names and pictures. Tell me how you feel about that.
In the beginning, I would see blog posts where people had blogs or websites, and they called their kids by little pet names, Sunshine and, Funny Boy and, whatever. And in the beginning, I always thought that it was kind of overkill, to be honest. I mean, I can really remember thinking, oh, my gosh. All my kids' names are pretty common, and I just remember thinking that it wasn't that big of a deal. But I can tell you that the smarter I've gotten online, the more I think that, once you post something, it's out there. It's out there, and you don't know, especially on, let's just talk about something like as easy as Facebook or Instagram. When you post something like that to your page, that instantly gives that to however many friends you have and however many friends they have, and multiply out that just a few times, and it scares me to death. And it just takes one little instance for that picture to be copied or, and it to be used in a way that you didn't intend for it to be. And, I'm just not a fan now of posting pictures and names, and I really do think twice about it, because there's a lot of places where you sign in on an account, whether it's social media or not, that you are waiving a lot of your white rights when you sign in. There's always that little fine print, but let's be honest, none of us read that all 100% of the time. We don't. And, it's too easy for those little things to happen. And, when you're talking about your kids, I just think that you should always err on the side of caution.
Absolutely. And, I want to bring another thing to people's attention, which was brought to my attention in some blog posts many weeks ago. When you are posting things about your children, and let me first give you the disclaimer that everyone who reads my blog knows about all my children, their names, their ages, and what they ate for dinner last night. So this doesn't really apply to me, but I do try to keep this in mind since I have read that. This stuff will stay on the internet forever. So if you think it's really cute to post a picture of your, whatever, your kid in nail polish or whatever, that when he's four, and who knows? I don't even know a good example, but something that's cute but could also be on the edge of almost making fun of your child. that's going to be out there forever. Everyone's going to be able to see that. When they go for a job interview, we are going to live in an age where, you know, the interviewer is going to have Google up on their desk at the simultaneous time while they're having an interview and know everything there is about them. So keep that in mind when you're posting things about your kids.
Well, and that's a very good tip. And I just think that the most innocent intention, you know, I mean, most of us do not, you know, post anything with probably any more than pride or, an emotional or social, you know, thing going on in your head at the time. There's none of us that are posting anything about our kids that has a malicious intent. But,
right.
You know, it doesn't take much in this world. And like you said, you just have no idea what could happen 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. And the truth of it is, you know, that information is still going to be around. And what can be added to it or made out of it or, you know, who even knows? I mean, things that we're not even thinking about. And so, like I said, I just think it's just, if you're in doubt, just don't do it.
Right. Absolutely. Now, you touched on servers. If your child's going to play on a Minecraft server, or my child loves World of Tanks and is on those servers, you know, perpetually, what kind of information, what kind of talk are you having with them before they start joining servers?
Well, you know, I'm very careful about where they play as far as, you know, their video games. My boys have Xbox accounts. And I regularly go through their friends list. And I, you know, we have that talk. I'm not going to say that we do it every week, but, you know, once every month or so, I'm sitting down with them and I'm looking through their friends list and I'm seeing who is this person? You know, because that's the thing, too, is that there's so many of these instances that are not, you know, there's passwords and screen names and, you know, it's hard to say who they're dealing with. And so I think it's up to you to get all that information. So we go through that. We talk about who they're playing with online as far as video games. And when I'm not a big fan of letting them join servers like Minecraft servers, for example. They are part of the FTS server. And then we've talked about When You Rise Up. And those are really the only two that I'm comfortable with them because I feel like both of those servers are well policed on the other end. I don't expect, you know, a company or another person to police what's going on with my child, but I do respect that there are admins on the other end, you know, that I feel like are watching it. So for me, it's kind of on both sides of the fence that I'm looking to keep my kids safe in that respect.
Right, absolutely. And I very strongly told both boys, Dominic, my 11-year-old, and Blaze, my 10-year-old, never give out your real name, never give out your age, and never give out your location. These are not anything that we can negotiate on. These are non-negotiable. If you ever do any of those things, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take away your opportunity to play on any servers because this is just too important. And, you know, I'm trying to impress upon them that there are a lot of, unfortunately, sick individuals who will utilize children's online gaming as an opportunity to take advantage of kids. And like I said, this is where their naivete comes into play. They just can't wrap their head around that. And, you know, they think that I'm a lunatic, and I very well might be. But it's really important in our house that they protect themselves and protect their family.
Well, and I'll share just a little small story with you about an instance like that in our house. And, I know that you're very diligent about it, and I am too. And I think that we all, we think that we know what our kids are thinking. But I'll tell you that, out of my four, I have one, and you know who he is, that is very much my right hand. He's very cautious. He's a street smart kid, has a lot of common sense. Never worry about him with things like that. When I tell him to do what I tell him to do, he always does it. This has been about a year and a half ago. We were actually stationary, and he was on an Xbox account. And to make a long story short, there was some sort of glitch or something that had happened within one of his games he was playing. But to make a long story short, there was somebody that was on his friend, a friend of a friend of his. Which that's where I think even waters get muddied when it comes to things like Xbox accounts and things like that. Because if you don't have a police right, you don't follow through. What it's not really, it's not ever your friend, you know, your kid's friend, but it could be, you know, their long lost cousin from California or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with California, but I'm from location wise, for me, that's clear across the country. So what happened with this instance is basically that person told my guy that he could do something for him if he would just send him $5. Well, let me just say that over a series of about a week, what he was trying to do is he was getting him to send him Microsoft points. At the time, that was when they, you know, you could buy the Microsoft points cards, you know, at the store, and then they would, you know, transfer into real money on their Xbox account. Well, what he was doing, what he had taken his own money, bought those Microsoft cards, gave the codes to this person. It was a friend of a friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow within all this, he ended up giving him his first name.
Oh,
and before this was over with, this person on the other end, and we never did get to the bottom of this to know if this was really somebody that was just an innocent scammer or something that was a little more serious, because thankfully we actually have a state police officer back in our home state that's a very good friend of ours, and we got him involved on our end, and also, you know, just kind of making sure that we were protected as far as some of the information that had been given out, and so he kind of handled some of that for us. But the information that was given out, the information that the person on the other end found out about my child with Justin IFC, it was scary. It was very scary. And I'll tell you that I can remember exactly the look on my face when my oldest child told me that this had happened, because of all my kids, I would have told you that the one that this happened to would never, ever, ever, ever do that. But it was a good reminder to me that your kids are still exactly that. They're kids. And no matter how much we teach them and how much we show them, you know, they're still very innocent, and they don't see the things that we see. And, you know, it's just something that you have to really be diligent about, because even though you've told them 100 times, it may take 101 times for it to really stick. And, you know, once some time goes by and they're comfortable in their situation, they're comfortable in their skin and, you know, where they're at and comfortable, you know, it's easy for someone to creep in. And I use that pun intended.
Exactly. Very cool. Well, that's a good story. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it, you know, it happens so innocently, and then before you know it, they're trapped in someone's snare. So we talked about online safety. And I want to add one last thing. I ran around and put masking tape on everybody's camera.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I read, or I learned online that there was some $40 hacker program that anyone could buy that could hack into anyone else's computer via IP and automatically turn on their camera. And I went nuts and just ripped a piece of masking tape and put it on everyone's camera, including my own. So just a little easy hack to make sure no one can see me.
Yeah, I don't want anybody seeing me either. I don't like.
Okay, so so we talked about online safety. Let's talk about safety in campgrounds. And again, I want to remind everyone who's listening: this show is not to scare you. This show is to prepare you. Is that what you wrote, Mary Beth? Is that where I just said that?
That's right. That is. Don't be scared. Be prepared. That's kind of our mantra and our rig, and that's what Road School Mom. Road School Moms just want you to remember that saying for whatever. Don't be scared, be prepared.
Right. So let's talk about campgrounds. And I will say that although campgrounds do have a 1950s kind of very welcoming, neighborly, friendly atmosphere, there's also a very transient aspect to campgrounds. And our very, very steadfast rule is under no circumstances may the kids go in anybody else's RV.
Sorry.
What are your rules with campgrounds?
We have that as well. you know, definitely don't go in someone else's RV. I think that's so, you have to really pound that in their head. Because I'll tell you, even though we have that rule, and it's been a rule for the 2 years that we've been full-timing, when we got to the Tucson road school rally, you know, they get so excited when there's kids involved, and that it just takes that one time. So our biggest rule is, just like yours, don't go in the rigs. The other rule that we have is that you have to be on our site by dark. You know, and when it's getting dark, they can't go off of our site, you know, after dusk. And our girls can't go anywhere without, we always say, you can't go anywhere without a big boy. We don't, you know, no one ever leaves the site without a buddy. That's probably our number two rule.
Yes. As far as playing outside, this is something that even after 4 years, I still struggle with, because really what is happening here, my children are growing up in campgrounds, and campgrounds have rules, and campgrounds have other campers. And so I'm not one to just open the door and let them roam. I kind of draw a boundary of where I expect them to be. And then I don't want to sit on top of them because, again, we are a full-time family and we want them to have a little time of their own, but I want them to be pretty much an earshot of me. If I need them, I have a cowbell that I ring and I expect them to all come running, and they do. They're very good about that. So they have to be able to be close enough to hear the cowbell, and I have to be close enough to hear them, and thankfully they're loud, so that gives them a little more room than maybe the normal child. But so I'll let them be pretty much within two or three sights of me. If they want to go any further than that, they have to come and get me, and we have to go together when I can go with them. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll just elaborate on that a little bit. What I always say to my kids, and I probably said it to your kids, you know, when we've been together, if you can see me, then I can still see you. And so that's probably, you know, that's the number three rule I'd say that's in ours. And, I use that wherever we go, when we're in a campground or when we're, you know, whatever we're doing. You know, if you can see me, I can see you, and then we're all good.
Yeah. What about bike riding in campgrounds? This is a show about safety. Let's talk about helmets.
Yeah, that's hard. Because I'll say that I really want to sit here and say, my kids always wear their helmets when they're on a bicycle, but the truth is, they don't. I wish they did, but they don't. They all have them, but they don't wear them all the time. Should they wear them all the time? Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you on the fence about this situation, and if my kids are riding in a campground, and usually up and down my own, you know, lane or street or whatever you would call it, then no, they're not wearing helmets. Unless the campground insists they wear helmets, they're not wearing helmets. If Tonya has an electric scooter, and before we gave it to her, the stipulation was anytime she was on it, 100% of the time she had to wear a helmet, because I feel like it goes faster than she can go on a bike. I might be completely wrong on that, but that's how I felt. And so we established that with the scooter. But as far as helmets go, no, they don't, because, you know, I find what they do is they just ride two sites over, throw their bike on the ground and hang out there, and then ride two sites back and throw their bike on there. They're not really going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's just a lot of freak accidents that can happen like that. And so when it comes to head safety, I think, again, it's always better to be, I mean, you can be that freakish mom that stood out there holding the helmet in her hand, and you know, that's better than being the one standing there waiting for 911 to come pick your kid up off the pavement. I mean, that's
right.
Really the bottom line. I'll say another thing that I mean, when I start talking about it, my stomach literally gets sick, and that's water safety. And I think a lot of campgrounds, you know, a lot of times the pools have fences, but as a mom of a couple of boys, we all know the boys. I mean, not just boys, all kids, but specifically my boys are climbers, and you know, it's easy to climb over a fence. And aside from swimming pools, lots of campgrounds have ponds, you know, and I think that, you know, my kids are all attracted to water just like everybody else's, and I think water safety is a big issue. I just read a story just in the last few weeks about it was actually a homeschool family. I don't know if you've seen this, Kimberly, but they were out somewhere out west. They were at a family function. I think it was a reunion, And it was at a family farm. It was a pond that they had been to many, many times. And one of their children that was actually an older child, it wasn't a 2 or 3 year old, he slipped in the water. You know, it was muddy on the bank or what. You know, our kids don't think, I mean, heck, I don't even think I think about that kind of thing, you know. He slipped in the water, and for whatever reason, he was weighted down and he drowned. And I just think, you know, water safety is a big one. So when you're checking in a campground, especially one that you've not stayed at before, if there's a water source, a river, or a stream, or a bank, or a pond, it's something you should definitely talk about with your kids. In the notion that, you know, how deep is it? You know, stay away. You know, where you stay away from the edges and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good thing to think about, and may not occur to everyone. I want to talk about specifically, because I think this is one of the biggest threats in our RV that very few people think about, and that's if your kids need to call 911 because you have passed out. I know when I started full-timing, my oldest was 7, and he could not operate my cell phone. He absolutely couldn't. He would not know how to dial 911. So if you are full-timing with younger kids, I want to challenge you to teach them how to call 911 on your cell phone. And every time you get a new cell phone, I want you to keep in mind that you're going to need to teach them again. And if you have a passcode on your cell phone, or if your cell phone only works if your finger is touching the button, you know, these are things that you need to think about if your cell phone is your only communication source between you and 911 and you cannot operate it.
Well, and let's talk about this. Let's even add a little bit more to that. Because we do travel, and we are in different areas, and your cell phone, you know, bounces from tower to tower, I think it's always a great idea. And this is one thing I'm pretty diligent about as well. When we get to an area, I mean, you know, you've probably talked with your kids on the way, you know, what state you're in or whatever, but I just think it's really important when you get to an area. And we usually do this when we first get there. We talk about, you know, where we're at, you know, and what the campground name is. Because if they have to call 911 and they have to, you know, answer questions about where they are, you know, do they know how to describe where you are? Do they know what campground you're in? Do they know how to describe your rig? You know, are you in, you know, do you have a red truck in front of a, you know, whatever, you know, your rig looks like. I mean, I think that's an important thing for them to realize.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These are things to consider when you're always moving. And if you, when we first started, I was the only adult in the camper. Chris was still working outside of the RV. And I thought, wow, I'm in a vulnerable position here. If anything happens to me, if I slip and fall, if I just pass out, who's going to, you know, how are my kids going to get the help they need?
Right. So. Let's talk about this, because you know that I had a situation like this about a month ago where we were at. And ironically, we were not at a campground. We were actually at a family member. You know, we were boondocking at a family member's house. But let's talk about home security. How do you handle, I mean, do you have, you know, I guess there are RV security systems. Is that something that you look at, Kimberly, or what? How do you feel about
Well, you know I'm married to the mod man, right? My husband, Christopher, is the mod man, and we actually do have an RV security system. It's perfect. It's great for if someone's going to break in your RV, but it's even better if you have really little kids who might leave, because there was a door chime on it. So if DJ tried to walk out the door at 1 o'clock in the morning for some strange reason, I knew immediately. Our RV alarm also had a water alarm with it. So if there was going to be a flood somewhere, there was a sensor. There is this sensor, I should say, in my bathroom specifically, because that's one of the highest parts of the camper, right there on the floor. And if it gets wet, it also sounds the alarm. So we can mitigate any damage that way. And I believe he bought it off of eBay. It's a wireless system. He's got the windows and the doors all armed, and he's got that water monitors hooked to it. And I strongly urge people to get it. It wasn't expensive. Maybe it was $50. Maybe it was $70 at most. But it has had alerted us several times to DJ opening the door and trying to let himself out.
That's awesome. If we all only just had a Chris with our all his education.
Chris
awesome
bought it because
tip.
We like to be able to go boondocking, and we thought it would be a great deterrent. Because if you're going to go boondocking on BLM land, and you're going to leave your rig unattended, and it's going to be obviously unattended if you have a rig and your vehicle's missing, we thought it would be a great deterrent if all of a sudden there was a really loud siren if anyone tried to mess with it.
Yeah, I love that. I have to mention that somebody in our chat just posted, and I think this is a good idea, let's back up a second to when we were talking about the 911 things your kids should know about where you're at. And she says, if you're in a campground, I would think that getting them to the camp host or another adult at the campground would also be on the list of options. And that's something that I didn't say, and I really had never thought of. But that's, you know, I always make sure that my kids know where the office is or whatever, but I really never said to them, you know, that's where an adult is if you need another adult and you can't get to me. So that's a good point.
That's a really good point. I really appreciate them putting that there. Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know if you've seen Laura Hamilton just posted that she says, find a mom that has kids. You know, that's probably another good point.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. These are really good. I'm so glad we're having this discussion.
I know, and I hope it's not. I don't want it to be a Debbie Downer discussion either, because there are tons and tons and tons and tons of positive, exciting, fun things that we can talk about. And safety doesn't have to be depressing and scary, but I just think, you know, the time to talk about it's now when we're calm and cool and collected, not when there's a scary, chaotic moment happening and you're trying to remember all the things that you should do and, you know, in order to keep everyone safe.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, we really can't talk about safety without talking about Matt the Fire Guy. He attended our Road School Convention. Here comes my rant. He attended our Road School Convention in Tucson. And, boy, was it eye-opening. And Mary Beth and I have discussed this in person and on the radio show. But I want to just give you a couple of heads up of what you should do in the event of a fire. And I want to start by telling you, if there's a fire in your RV, you have 4 seconds to get yourself and your family out. So this is, like Mary Beth just said, when you're calm, cool, and collected, it's the time to make a plan. So when you're done listening to the radio show tonight, I want you to be thinking about your fire safety plan. And one of the first things I want you to do is go to your emergency windows, find all your emergency windows, and make sure they open.
Yeah, that's so important. Like, we can't stress that enough. When we were in Tucson, Mac the Fire Guy was there. If you were joined us on any one of those shows around that, Kimberly and I were so affected by his presentations that we talked about it constantly for at least 3 weeks. But make sure that you know, because I'm going to tell you right now that I didn't know how to open my windows. I mean, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again for our new listeners. We'd been in our RV for a couple of years, and I had no idea how to really open the windows. I thought I knew. My husband thought I knew, but we had never actually went through it. Physically demonstrate to your family how to get out of your rig, how to open the windows, how to open the doors, and physically let them do it themselves to make sure that there are no questions on how to get out of your rig.
Right. And stress the importance that they need to get out. They don't need to worry about you. They need to worry about any kind of little child. If there's older children and there's little children in combination, if they can help them get out, that's awesome. But they do not need to worry about the parents. The parents will worry about getting everyone out that they can get out. But the child, whatever children, if they're old enough to be responsible for themselves, then they need to know that they need to get out. They said, someone, I forget who, what brilliant Road School mom said this, it might have been you, it might have been Laura, take a spot in your RV that where you're going to, outside of your RV, where you're going to meet. And since we are always moving, someone suggested that the spot be your towing or towed vehicle. So, you know, in case of fire, go to the back of the truck. In case of fire, go to the back of the flex. You know, whatever your other vehicle is, if you have one, that's a great point, meeting point, because that's a constant.
Yep, absolutely. That was actually, I think, something we talked about, because we always had a place when we were in our house, but we'd never discussed that with our kids. We'd never even thought about where that safe place was when we were in an RV. So Yeah, that's important. I was trying to think, something I thought of that came up after we left Tucson and we had practiced a couple times with our kids, something that came up that you might not even think of is, when your kid, first of all, let me say this. When we had the demonstration, one thing that I thought was so effective, when we're sitting here talking about fire safety and how to get out of your rig, and even when you're practicing with your kids, it's a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but it's not as realistic, clearly, as what it's really going to be. And one thing that Mac done during that demonstration is he was screaming, fire, fire, get out, like it truly would be if there really was a fire. So in those moments of chaos, what's going to happen with your kids? I know what's going to happen with my four kids. They're going to want to run to wherever I am, which is in the opposite direction of where they should go. And so that's something that you also really need to talk about with your kids is just because mom and dad's in this back bedroom, if you're in the front, you go out that door. Under any circumstances, you run back through the rig to get to mom or to get to dad or to an older sibling. You know, they need to know where the nearest exit is for where they sleep and walk through that scenario as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this needs to be a physical exercise. You need to dedicate some time one day where you're all together, where you go through this quite a few times. Dedicate a whole hour to it where, just set off the fire alarm and see what happens. And then critique what you've done.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say. For us, everything turns into a competition with our family. I'm not sure why, but I use that factor with our guys because we timed ourselves, and as they got quicker, then, it was more rewarding, I guess, for them. But, it's not something that you should do, one time when you first start out or it's something that you need to practice regularly, every couple of months and talk about and make sure that there's no questions, because that's the other thing is that, you may think in your mind that you've covered everything, but there's always some question from one of my kids that I think, I look at them with the deer in the head like, I don't even know how you thought of that, but that's a valid question.
Right. Absolutely. And back to our safety exits again, we have limited amounts of space. So I'm looking at my safety exit right now, and I have a printer in front of it. What in the world? This is, you really need to evaluate. Those safety exits really need to be available to you.
There's so many of you out there that have done really cool modifications, and I know we talked about this too, Kimberly, when you talk about things sitting in front of a window or in front of an exit. But, I don't remember who it was in Tucson, but Mac went through rigs there and talked about fire safety. And I don't remember whose it was, but, you make curtains and you do all the, the stuff, and you just don't think about, oh, gosh, is this blocking the window or is this, prohibiting this from opening? That's just something that you have to really, really examine as well.
Right. And then the other thing we learned when we opened the window was that, in fact, we have sunshades, which I love and adore. They keep our rig really nice and cool. They look really cool on the outside. The ceilings made them for us for their company, RV Sunshade Co. We have snap-on sunshades, and I was really happy to find out that I was able to push the window, and the window would then open the sunshades. But there are people with sunshades, a different kind, that have different fasteners, and that material does not rip. So if you have the fasteners that cannot be pushed from the inside out, don't be fastening those on safety windows. Just don't do it, because you will not get out.
Well, and that's the reason that you should physically go through all of these items. Physically do it, because that is something that you will definitely, realize, hey, we can't snap these because they won't come off in an emergency.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why it's super important. Actually, go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Travel safety. A big issue for travel safety and our lifestyle is weight. If you are overweight, you are putting your family in jeopardy. I'm going to say it again. If you are overweight, if you have too much stuff in your RV, if you have not paid attention to your gross vehicle weight rating, you are putting your family in serious jeopardy on the road. You need to make sure that you understand what that GVWR letters mean, what your number is, and then you need to calculate weight. And that includes any fluids you might be carrying. That includes any modifications you've made. A lot of people rip out the RV furniture and put in residential furniture. Well, RV furniture is cheap and flimsy for a reason. So if you're putting in a residential refrigerator, that might weigh an extra 100 pounds over your RV fridge. You know, these are things that you need to consider. And if you don't know what you weigh, then you have no excuse the next time you pass a truck stop with a weigh station. Go on the weigh station and weigh yourself. Find out what you weigh. There are professionals out there, too, that can help you figure out what you weigh. We've done it both ways. And I encourage you to absolutely weigh your rig and make sure that you are traveling safely. What do you do about weight, Mary Beth?
Well, I can tell you that my dad owns a trucking company, so I'm all about weight. And we talked about that even before we bought our rig. And when we just this past summer, when we decided to pull a trailer, we revisited the weight issue. And I can tell you that we've gone across the scales, you know, periodically. Just to double check that, because I think that, you know, if you've ever traveled in recently in the past 2 years and you went on a flight and you try to pack 50 pounds in a bag, you usually find out very quickly that clothes add up to a whole heck of a lot more than you realize, you know, and so that's just a bigger magnitude when you talk about it in an RV. And one thing that I want to elaborate just a little bit on that that has to do with weight. But just the physical location of that and what you said, Kimberly, was spot on, and that is if you've got too much stuff in your rig, first of all, that's probably affecting your weight. And second of all, that is really, you know, they say that it's not always usually it's not the first impact that kills someone, it's the second impact. And so, you know, that's not the first impact of an actual collision or an actual stop or whatever, but it's, you know, something coming out of a cabinet or a closet that has too much in it that's just been stuffed full and, you know, the door slammed shut. You know, that can be deadly, if not fatal, in an accident that's not so serious. You know, heaven forbid that you'd get into a, you know, a severe weather situation that there would be wind, you know, and it would blow, you know, it'd rock your rig back and forth and cabinets would come open and, you know, you're going down the road and that's one thing that you don't, you know, that you're not thinking about when you're packing your things and you're, you know, the sun's shining and, you know, you're putting glass face, you know, I just think that you have to be so cognizant of things that are glass and that are heavy and, you know, that have sharp edges and that are in places that are not permanently attached. You know, it's just a very big consideration.
You bring up a great point because I travel from the perspective of a trailer and, you know, fifth wheel trailer with a truck, but you're actually in a motorhome and everything in that motorhome becomes a projectile in the event of an accident. It can be a little accident. You don't even have to hit anything.
No, let me tell you just quickly. We were going through Atlanta 2 years ago. We did not even come to a complete stop. Someone stopped in front of us in the middle of a 6-lane highway, very slammed on the brake. We did not even come to a complete stop. But something that I had on the kitchen counter come flying through and narrowly missed someone that was sitting on the couch. And, I mean, it was a big reminder for me because I'm pretty good about securing things. You know, but there was a couple of things that I'd laid on the counter that was behind the sink laying down. And, you know, I never thought about it coming all the way forward in the rig, but it sure did. And we weren't even in an accident. So
right.
It can happen fast and there's no time, you know, you think that you'll have the reaction time to, you know, prepare yourself or, you know, it's just not like being in a car where you put your hand, you know, over there to your right. You keep your kids from, you know, we all have that instinct. But in a situation like that, you don't have the reaction time to keep everyone safe. So the time to keep everyone safe is when you're sitting still with a clear head and watch your weight. That's a good safety tip.
Now, you came up with an acronym for us, didn't you?
I did. I said that, you know, be safe. Road school mom, be safe, stay safe. And so that is you start with a plan. So whether you're a weekend warrior or a full-time family in your rig, emergency plans should always be considered before you hit the road. So fire safety and severe weather preparedness, home security, water safety, and all these other conditions we've talked about tonight really need to be evaluated before you hit the road in order to formulate a plan that fits your family's travel life. Because what works for me, just like Kimberly just said, what works for me in our motorhome doesn't work for her in her rig. You know, it's something that you really need to examine for your own family. And then A, always take the time to talk about the plan with your family. Physically demonstrate the portions of your plans that might be confusing and scary or chaotic moments of a 911 instance. Practice the evacuation of your rig. Walk to the shelters that are designated safe during a storm. Take your family on a hike and discuss the depth of the campground pond, because these are all things that might be a, you know, that might make the difference between a good or a not so good outcome for someone aboard your rig. And then F is for find ways to review safety precautions in your daily routine. When skies look dark, use that as an opportunity for one of your road schoolers to pick up the local weather radar and download a weather app. You know, one of the greatest gifts that I think we give our kids in our road school life is the ability to use those real-life situations as teaching moments, you know, in our everyday life. And like I touched on before, be sure to ask the littles, I call them the littles in our rig, the five and under crowd, you know, if they have any questions. Because, again, what may be obvious to us is not necessarily apparent to them. And then E in the SAFE acronym is expect the unexpected. You know, if you're expecting an emergency and preparing for the worst, then that'll just help you stay ahead of the game. So us here at Road School Mom say, don't be scared, be prepared.
Absolutely. I love that. Is there any way that people can read that for themselves or
yeah, actually,
online?
We did. We just posted that on our Road School Mom's Facebook page, and I have that sent in a link to you so that you can put it on your full-time families if you'd like, and you can definitely check it out from the blog at Road Trip Teacher, Diary of a Road Mom. So several places you can look for it.
I love it. Thanks so much for coming up with that. And like Mary Beth said, don't be scared. Be prepared. That's the best thing you can do for your family. Can you believe we've been talking about this for an hour already? This is incredible. We could go on for another 2 hours.
I was going to say, well, if anybody knows us very well and knows what kind of a tangent our imaginations can run with, and if you had to listen to us in Tucson, then we know that you're our real Road School Mom's friends, because I'll say that Kimberly and I were on a big tangent about fire safety. So we can talk about safety probably from now until next Sunday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank all the listeners. But before I do that, tell me what's going on at Road Trip Teacher this upcoming week.
Well, we're traveling a little bit, so we're kind of off and on. I'm not sure what's going to get posted to Road Trip Teacher this week. I know that we are wrapping up a lot of study guides and copy work things that we have in the works, so that's what we are working on. And we have some campground reviews coming up because we've been traveling, and are going to post some of the places that we like to stay between Indiana and Illinois and Florida. Some of the fun family-friendly campgrounds that we have. We're kind of on a flex week this week, so Road Trip Teacher will probably be on the wing it plan like the rest of the family in our rig, if you want to know the truth.
Very cool. Well, we are embarking tonight at midnight and week two of the Full-Time Families Facebook scavenger hunt game, which is producing some hysterical pictures. It's very interesting. I just came across a picture where someone put their child in their freezer because it's asking for a walk-in freezer. So if you want to see any of those pictures, you can go to the FTF Scavenger Hunt Facebook page. So we're going to have week three coming up, a whole new list of challenges. It's getting harder and harder. So I'm really excited to see how the players do. And then we're going to be publishing our Confessions of a Work Camping Family. As you know, I mentioned, we're wrapping up our work camping experience here in Montana. So I've been making notes for the last 2 months, and you'll be able to read all about our experience and see if work camping is a solution for you on the road. And then I think that's pretty much what we've got going on this week. You can also check out any of our old posts at fulltimefamilies.com. You can check out that brand new infographic we created. That's at fulltimefamilies.com. You can join us on the Facebook group. Next week, we're talking about part two of creating your location-independent dream job. I'm really excited about that. We'll be publishing some new exercises. So if you're not on that mailing list yet, you're going to want to get on that. You can get on that by going to listen to our first part one, or just clicking on the post at the Ultimate Radio, at the Ultimate Radio Network. You can click on the post about the dream job and get yourself on that list so you're getting the exercises. Pretty cool.
That's right. And this is our last Sunday in July, so we'll say goodbye to July and hello to August and all the things that are going to come with next month, and including some exploring and discovery that Kimberly and I are going to do with different curriculums and some things to help everybody out in their road school. So stay tuned for that. And we'll be with you
August is going to be a great month. I'm really excited for all the shows we have to help people prepare for a great road school. And I want to say thank you to all our listeners. We had a slew of listeners on the phone tonight, including Laura Hamilton, and I recognize Christy Smith there. And if you ever have anything you want to add to our broadcast, you could always hit the star 2 button, and we can get you live on the air. So thanks again for listening.
That's right. So until next time, I can't even talk. God bless and safe travels.
Yep, and enjoy your week.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your road school mom, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.